Hi, I'm Andrew Burton. I'm an editor with TechTarget Storage Media Group, and welcome to our weekly news recap. This week, assistant editor Rachel Kosman will drill into the storage group's top headlines. But first, I'm going to talk to Dave Raffo, our senior news editor based in Washington, D.C. Dave, how's it going?
Good, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
All right, so let's just jump right in. Pretty big news in the SSD world this week. EMC came out with their VF cache product, which is, you know, what we've been hearing about for a while is Project Lightning. Does EMC's entry into the PCIe flash market sort of indicate that the SSD market is shifting towards PCIe rather than array-based SSDs? And, you know, is that sort of the emerging use case for SSD?
Well, I think it's too early to say that. I think what we're seeing here is there are more options coming down the pike for flash, and I think that will continue for a while. EMC is not getting rid of their solid-state drives in the storage array. They're still offering that to customers as an option. And, PCIe flash has been around for a little while. Fusion I.O. over the last couple of years has sold petabytes of PCIe-based flash to companies like Facebook and Apple. Fusion I.O. goes about a little different. They say you use this card in your server and you don't need a SAN because this will bulk up performance in your high-performance applications, so you don't even need a SAN. You save money. EMC says, well, you still need a SAN because you need data protection and management and, intelligence, and you need the storage array for a large data repository. So, there's a little bit of a difference in, how you want to go about it. But, PCIe flash is not new. And, at the same time, we're seeing solid-state options expand. IBM this week added a solid-state cache in its XIV storage arrays. As an option, customers can put up to 6 terabytes of solid-state cache, and it pretty much does the same thing that the EMC VF cache will do. It will store hot data in the cache, so it will read quicker, do reads quicker, and it will pass off the writes to the array. So, that's pretty much what VF cache is doing. EMC is just putting that card in the server rather than doing it on the array. NetApp does it the same way that IBM is doing it now. They have a flash cache product that is an SSD cache. So, I think the market will take a little time. We'll see if one of these methods starts winning out over others. But I think right now the vendors are all trying to, hedge their bets and give as many options as possible. IBM does that SSD cache, but they also offer SSD drives in a lot of its other storage arrays. So, there's a lot of different ways of doing it, and I think the options are expanding.
Okay, cool. So what was EMC's rationale for going with SLC, flash over MLC, for the VF cache?
Well, I think in the beginning they wanted to start with the higher performance cache, I think to get early adopters, they probably want that more reliability and better performance. And the other reason is I think their partners in this, the main one is Micron's PCIe card, and also LSI. Those guys are still developing their second generation products will be MLC, but right now they're mainly SLC. So, I think that has a lot to do with it, too. I think, EMC saw the products they wanted to use were available on SLC, but not MLC, so they will wait for the MLC versions. But they will almost definitely go to MLC down the road.
All right. So EMC also announced the Project Thunder appliance, which is going to be out later this year. What are they trying to accomplish with that approach? And, is it going to offer something more than what you can accomplish, just using standard servers and the VF cache?
Yeah, well, the big difference is the VF cache, you can only use one card in a server right now. And that server, the benefit you get from that, performance upgrade, is only for the applications on that one server. It can't be shared across other applications. So the Project Thunderbox will have more PCIe cards in it, so the performance will be better. And it will connect to the network and also to the SAN, so you can share applications. You can point several servers at this Project Thunderbox and get the application benefit, get the benefit across, you know, the applications on all of those servers instead of just being limited to one application server.
All right, good stuff, Dave. Thanks a lot for taking the time to speak with me today.
All right, great to talk to you.
All right, see ya. So next up, we got Rachel Kosman, assistant editor with searchcloudstorage.com. She's going to recap the week's storage headlines. What's up, Rachel? How you doing? I'm good. Before you get to the news, I just wanted to ask you about your podcast with Gene Ruth from Gartner. He had some interesting stuff to say about cloud gateways and things the customer should be on the lookout for. Yeah. You want to give me some of his points?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that Gene explained to me was that gateways aren't used for mission-critical applications because they're not suitable for very high transaction rate type apps. Especially since they can't compete against enterprise-class disk arrays. Instead, he told me that cloud gateways are best for workloads that are less transactional, which is definitely good to know. The other thing that I asked Gene was which are more robust, block-based or file-based cloud gateways? And he actually said that he thought that was a trick question, since neither, in his opinion, are more robust. Instead, he told me that he breaks gateways into three different categories: caching, tiered devices, and copy devices. And he explained to me that caching devices only caches the data between an on-premises storage device and a public service provider, that a tiered device offers the same caching service plus local storage, and a copy device simply just takes snapshots and transfers them to the cloud, which I thought was really interesting.
Awesome. Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, that's it for me. Take it away with the news.
Great, thanks, Andrew. So amongst all the buzz of the EMC VF cache release that Andrew and Dave were talking about, IBM actually made a quieter launch, adding solid-state drive caching options to its XIV storage system. IBM's XIV Gen 3 now includes an option for up to 6 terabytes of fast read cache for hot data. And IBM offers SSD drives and automatic tiering software as an option for other storage systems. But this is the first SSD option for XIV. And although IBM's caching option is limited to one of its products, the concept is similar to what EMC is doing through its storage array lineup with VFCache, in that IBM is speeding up read performance for data that needs it while passing write through to the array. In other news, Symantec announced improvements to its backup applications, including a faster backup process and enhanced search for NetBackup 7.5, as well as virtual machine backup enhancements and a new interface for Backup Exec 2012. Symantec added a NetBackup accelerator feature, which they say reduces traditional full backups to the speed of incremental backups for millions of small files, which is really interesting. And lastly, Sonia Lely reported a story about an IT manager at a California energy company who was fearful when his storage services vendor, Nasuni, moved data of its primary storage from cloud provider Rackspace over to Amazon S3. But despite his worry and the transfer of nearly 9 terabytes of data, he said his company didn't experience a single glitch, which is really interesting. You can read the rest of that story and the rest of all of our stories this week on searchstorage.com, searchsolidstatestorage.com, and our Storage Soup and Data Defender blogs on itknowledgeexchange.com. That's it for this week. Have a great weekend, and thanks, everybody.